Okay, great. All right. All right, so we're going to get started with July's LHON Live conference call, and I want to welcome everybody who has dialed in and decided to join us tonight. Just a quick history. We started this call 2 years ago. We're heading into our third year with this call, and it has been – okay, you're in, Jessica? Good.
Okay, great. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay, and I'm just waiting. Tracy, are you on?
I'm here.
Good. Yes, it all worked. All right, so – We've been doing this call, like I said, we're going into our third year, and it has been really a success, and most of everyone's feedback has been that they're really enjoying it and look forward to it every month. Now, on this call, we don't get into any scientific, medical news, what's going on, clinical trials, all those kind of things. We leave that to the doctors and scientists, which we are not, so we don't get into any of that. We don't do politics, we don't do religion, you know, the usual stuff that really can, you know, really needs to be discussed outside of this phone call. The call is really for everybody, whether you speak up or not, again, whatever you're comfortable with. It really has brought more of an opportunity for our community to bring in more of the friendships, camaraderie, a fellowship, if you will, to keep the bond going between all of us, since so many of us live, you know, few and far between each other. You know, it's a chance for us to at least just get together once a month, not via Facebook, not via email, not via text messages, but with everybody in one room, you know. And we do that at our conference once a year, but not everyone can make that. So it's kind of nice to have this going every month. So, again, we appreciate everybody that joins us every month. Now, I'm going to start off with introducing my co-hosts, and I want them to say hello. We have Jessica Loomer. Hello, Jessica. You're there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
And Andy Marks.
Hey, everybody.
Okay. And we're the three that do these conference calls every month. Each, we kind of rotate, so we'll have Andy will be a main host 1 month, Jessica, and myself. So that's why some of us, are speaking up more than others at times. So tonight, I want to start off with a little bit of news in the community. I will talk a little bit first, since I, out of the three of us, was the one that was at the conference this year. We just had our fourth annual LHON conference. It was held in Seattle, Washington, and I want to let you all know that it was great. It was a solid, stellar program for the entire day. Lissa did an amazing job lining up an entire day full of science, doctors, genealogy. We had two patient panels filled with adults and young adults and teenagers living with LHON. We talked a little bit about technology. We talked a lot about emotional adjustment. And, of course, we wrapped up at the end of the day talking about what the latest is and goings on in the community as far as fundraising and, you know, of course, LHON Live, LHON Report podcast, and things of that sort. But the best part is the whole day is videotaped. And right now, that big chunk of videotape is being processed and edited into smaller segments that will be available ASAP, as soon as they can get through them. And Lissa's working on that with the video production company, and they will be available for everyone to look at and listen to once they're done. So be on the watch for that. It's going to take a little while, so be patient about that. So you can pretend as if you were there at the conference. So anyway, next year the conference is going to be in Virginia, and it's June 30th, 2017. They also next year have Day on the Hill, and that is on Thursday, the 29th. So as it gets closer, of course, we'll be talking more and more about that. But just to mark your calendars for 2017 and start those piggy banks rolling, okay, so you all can join us at the conference next year being on the East Coast. Now I want to turn it over to Jessica, who's going to give us some more exciting news in the community, kind of a sports report, if you will. Jessica?
Thanks, Maria. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the live sports report from Phoenix, Arizona. Having to announce We have two LHON athletes that are spotlighted in the Road to Rio. We have Tucker Dupree. It's actually Tucker's third time going to the Paralympics for swimming. So that's really cool, third time. That's awesome. We have Chaz Davis, first time going to Rio. Chaz actually just graduated college and got gold in the 1,500 and 5,000 meter. So we wish those guys the best at the Road to Rio. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Jessica. Yeah, you know, these we had Chaz Davis on as a guest speaker some time ago, but, man, he has really pursued his passion, and we're all proud of both of Chaz and Tucker. It will be even more exciting to watch when, you know, the Olympics in Rio starts to happen. So, anyway, just wanted to shout out to both of those gentlemen who have really pushed hard to pursue their passion and dream. So,
and Maria.
Yes.
There's more information if you guys want to read more about Chaz and Tucker. There's huge articles and awesome videos of both of them on USABA, which is the United States Association of Blind Athletes. So check it out there.
Great. Okay, great. That's awesome. And I know there's been things posted in the main group. People have been posting articles, and Audrey, Chaz's mom, has been posting a lot about Chaz. So if you haven't been tuned into Facebook lately, you know, kick on there and you'll definitely find things about both of those athletes. All right, so moving on, we have our guest speaker tonight is Tracy McFate, and Tracy lives in California, and I met Tracy, we met on the phone not too long ago, but we've talked several times, and he also attended the conference this year, and Tracy's got a great story, and the way he's handled his life when LHON kind of hit him, I just loved it. So I asked him to be on our call, and I'm going to give it over to Tracy, who can kind of take us back to when it kind of all began for him. You there, Tracy?
I am.
Terrific. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks, Maria. Let me just start. My history with labors is 3 years ago, right at about this time, I had no idea what LHON was. Just didn't have a clue. We keep an RV in Pismo Beach, which is about the central coast of California. My wife and I were up there. We went to our favorite place for breakfast, and I had a hard time. There was a sign on the door. It said, "Hey, sorry we missed you. We've decided to retire. We're closed. Thank you for all the wonderful years of patronage." But I just had a hard time reading it, and I kind of chalked that up. You know, with the bright sun and whatnot. And later in the day, we go back to the RV. Being a football official, I pulled out my rule book and I started, to kind of figure out what I'm going to do on the football field. And I had a hard time reading the rule book. Yet I was still driving. I'm able to see the freeway signs and so on. So I just put it down. And then when I go into my office, and I worked at a local four-year university, I just had a tough time even reading spreadsheets and so on. And on July 1st, I went to my first optometrist appointment, who told me that I had dry eye. And all this story here is probably similar to what a lot of you folks have gone through, so I'm not going to go through that whole thing. But it took us from first experiencing vision issues to actually getting diagnosis, which I think is similar to a lot of folks. It took 6 months, and it took a lot of hard work on my wife's part to get a referral from our HMO into Doheny, where we're at now, and really happy to be there. But listening at the conference to a lot of people, that you just don't walk into an optometrist, ophthalmologist, whatever, and they tell you that you have labor. They're not familiar with it. And that was my case. So that's how I got to where I'm at now. I think the little bit of a difference is, at that time, I was 59. And we started, as soon as we got diagnosed, we started doing some study, and it's just about how it was typically male, but a lot younger than me. And so when I look back on it today, and I was sharing this with Maria, is I feel somewhat blessed in the fact that it didn't hit me till I was 59. And so I'm 62 now. Still, see Dr. Sadoun and so on. So that's where I'm at with labors. football wise, I was on the football field as a referee for 40 years, and it started in 1973. I was a skinny kid with long sideburn, long hairs, engaged to be married, and to make some money, I'd work these little kids' games, a triple header, and I get $9 a game, and we get $27, and man, that was a lot of money in 1973. But in doing that, I progressed up to where I was doing some freshman high school games, and then going up to working varsity high school football games, a little bit higher level, and then started doing community college football, and I really had the bug as far as football officiating goes. But the higher that you go, the more competitive it is, and the less positions that are open. So every year I would do spring football scrimmages at places like USC and UCLA, and always come away with, hey, yeah, you're pretty good, but we're going to take this guy this year, we're going to take that guy. And you go through the whole process. And after many years, I did get hired into a Division I conference to officiate college football. And it was just what my goal had been for probably about 20 years before it happened. So very fortunate to work a whole lot of football games. And today, when I was kind of prepared for this, I figured that I probably officiated at all levels about 1,300 football games. And I can honestly say there's never been a time when I stepped on the field for a game that I didn't want to be there. There was plenty of times that game progressed where I wish I wasn't there. But to start with, I was always glad to be there. I still have a passion for it that I'll get to in a minute. But there was just so many highlights that I've done. I've worked games in front of 60,000 people and games on ABC and ESPN and Fox, and had the opportunity to meet people like Lou Holtz and Pete Carroll and Nick Saban. A very interesting conversation with a retired broadcaster named Keith Jackson, and also able to work some NCAA bowl games and championship games. And it got to the point where I was pretty full of myself, and I was pretty hot stuff. And so, you know, you need a little dose of reality every now and then, and I certainly got it. But in saying all that, I realized that I had some pretty neat friends that were also football officials. And in my walk with Labors, I have a group of guys that I think are on this call, but we have breakfast every Wednesday. I got a buddy, Ruben, that will come pick me up. He'll give me a hard time every time, but he comes and picks me up, and we go have breakfast. We play a lot of golf together. I even passed on a golf game with him today. The funny story on that is I was never very good at golf, but had fun doing it. So they think I've actually gotten better at golf since I've had some vision loss. But in doing that, you really it's about, you know, the contacts that you make and the people that you meet. And I have to say that I have tremendous family support. My wife has coined a term that I originally didn't like. She said, this is the new normal. And that's what we use now. It's the new normal, because I'm probably the most stubborn person that I've ever met, that's for sure. And I just refuse to believe that I was going to be stuck with this thing called labors. And then when I realized that I really do have a lot to be thankful for, you know, my attitude changed. And so in all those years of doing football, it was really kind of all about me, and I never realized it. But now what I do, I still assign officials for the local high schools in the area that we call down here the San Gabriel Valley, and I have about 150 officials that I assign 45 schools or so, something like 700 games. I do all those assignings. And I'm in the process of doing that now. And I really have a passion now for younger officials that are just starting out, and mentoring people, mentoring these guys, and try to get that to rub off on them about how you can do whatever you want, whether it's football officiating, whatever, you know, your passion is just to get into it. And so this Saturday, I'm going to be spending probably 5 or 6 hours on a football field where there's a lot of action going on, and we have some officials that are stepping on the football field for the very first time. And it's kind of intimidating to sit back and for them and for me to just to kind of tell them, just relax. You put a smile on your face. You know, everything's going to be okay. So in doing that. So that's a passion I have, but it's possible because of the support that I have, not only from my family, but these group of friends who know who they are, who I hope are on this phone call. But when I started officiating at the higher level, there was everything we did was scrutinized. We joked that we worked on a crew, and I had a guy on my crew from Boise, from Albuquerque, and we would all meet at the game. We did a whole lot of traveling, and we'd meet on Friday, and we would not congratulate ourselves on a good game from the previous week until the next week after everybody's taken a look at the film. And we knew we had a supervisor officials that if our phone rang on Monday morning that we must have done something wrong on Saturday night, and that was kind of a joke that, hey, did you get a call from Jack on this? Did you get a call from Jack on that? And there was a whole lot of bonding going there, and had some absolutely great times. Like I said, I worked the, you know, USC game at the Coliseum, was blessed to work a NCAA championship game in Dover, Delaware, when it was 28 degrees with snow coming down, and you couldn't wipe the smile off of our faces from these guys from California that were going there. Had some just some great interaction with some of those folks that I've mentioned. My thing now is working again at the local level, and some of the high school coaches that I know very well that found out what I'm going through, their first thing is to call me up and is there anything that they can do for me? And then when we start talking, they'll say, you know, I actually thought you were having vision problems 5 years ago in the game that you had with me because you sure weren't very good that game or whatever, and we kind of joked about it. So Tracy,
did anyone ever yell when you could see, like, are you blind, ref? Are you blind?
I have on every game that happens because our joke is every time there's a penalty flag, half the people are going to say you're great and half the people are going to say you're horrible. And you really, really have to have some thick skin. And we've had some, you know, altercations with parents and stuff at the high school level. And it was probably more fun at the lower levels than it was at the major college level, because every time you stepped off the field, there was a cop there to walk you through the crowd if that was the case. So everything was, you know, you couldn't interact with people. You know, we had some great interaction. I can remember working a game at Occidental College, and they had an outstanding quarterback who threw a little 2-yard pass to his running back who turned and ran 80 yards for a touchdown. And as we're running downfield together, I looked at him and I smiled and I said, and his name was Andy Collins. I said, Andy, you ought to be embarrassed. And he goes, why? I said, because tomorrow morning in the paper it's going to say that you threw an 80-yard touchdown pass. And he was bigger than I was, and he patted me on the head and said, this is a great game. And, you know, so we kind of got a, you know, you have a rapport with these guys. Some of the guys that have officiated their college games are now back refereeing high school games. And so that's really cool. And come this season and with the willingness of my wife, who absolutely loves it, we go to a game every Friday night with my Da Vinci machine that maybe a lot of you have. I'm constantly looking at game film of games to kind of help officials to say, maybe on this play you should be 10 yards further downfield or what have you. And so it really is kind of a full-time a full-time gig. And so what got me off of the field was in 2013, and I talked right when we started about the timing and how this came out, I really thought that I could still do it. And so I went to a scrimmage. It was just a practice. And my good friend Max and Scott, who may be on this call, they're being kind of quiet. But I told you, they knew I was starting to have some vision problems. We had no idea what it was. We thought it was dry eye at the time. And I said, let me see what I can do here. And I got into the position as a back judge, and you're 20 yards away from the ball with the players running at you. And I'm out there, and I see everybody moving, and I couldn't see the ball. And I'm thinking, oh, we got a problem here. And and these players would be about 10 yards away from them, and I could see that the kid was 6'6", 250 pounds, but I couldn't read the number on his uniform. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, there's a little bit more to this than I thought. Because, again, at the same, I was still driving, and I came home and told my wife, I said, I can't do this. And I really thought that I was going to be able to work that year. You know, they were thinking, hey, maybe you got cataracts and all that kind of stuff. But that was the first dose of reality, and that was about 6 weeks into labors. And
was that a really hard – I mean, I know, I imagine it was a really hard thing, but for you to actually come home and just say it, you know, that must have been really difficult.
I had a rough couple days.
Yeah.
But then my attitude, and then actually it's my wife's attitude, okay, we're done with that. Now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? So we still pursued all the medical, you know, aspects of it and everything.
Right.
And I was also doing all the assigning and everything then. And my wife really stepped to the plate where she did the bulk of that needed the reading and all that kind of stuff. So still stayed active. And it was, as the visions got worse, I realized, no, I'm not going to get back on the field. And I was 59. I thought I would go another 3 or 4 years on the field and have to give it up, not on my terms. Mm-hmm. Was something that was real difficult. And anybody that does these type of things, and whatever people are listening, whatever, you know, maybe some activities that you do, just a lot of times you don't get to leave it on your terms. You don't get to say, I'm going to do this till I'm 62 and then step aside. It doesn't really happen that way, because in football officiating, every year I got older, but those players stayed the same age. And they got bigger, they got faster. I don't necessarily think that they got a lot smarter. And I knew even before my vision, I said, okay, you know, I'm going to have to rely on my experience a little bit more than my athletic ability. And, these group of friends, they didn't let me, feel sorry for myself. And I'm still, you know, we have meetings every week starting here in a couple of weeks, and I'll be at those, and they continue to be, you know, just a blessing. We're more than just friends on football. We get together with, you know, families and go out to dinner and you know, those type of things. So I really am blessed when it comes to that. And now when I'm doing just in the kind of the beginning stages of all the assigning for the football games, I now have 150 best friends, because everybody wants, you know, as many games as they can get and so on and so forth and the whole bit. So, that was, kind of my walk. So football is still a big part of me. If I had my choice, I'd rather be on the football field. But you know what? Sometimes, folks, we just don't get to make those choices. And like I said, I'm very stubborn. I would like to be driving the car when we go up to Pismo Beach instead of my wife, and you know, all these type of things. But then I say, well, that's not going to happen. And and then when I think we'll talk about the conference maybe here in a little bit. But sitting and listening to these guys at the conference that are in high school that have labors, and the positive outlook that they have, I mean, I just said, oh my goodness, dude, those kids got a future. And that was, you know, a dose of reality for me. And I still have my times where I have my pity party, which I think I shared with you, not too often, but it's usually about 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm laying in bed awake. You know, kind of like, hey, how did I get here? You know, and
overthinking everything, and overwhelming, right?
But the last thing I want to be is a is a downer to anybody. And Maria, you know better than anybody that when you call me up, you better block off more than 5 minutes. You know, so.
vice versa. Yeah, it's pretty bad with both of us on the phone for sure.
So,
but well, Mike, I have a question for you though. Now, a lot of folks, you know, in the community, when they watch TV, and I know there's a lot of sports fans in the community. Do you sit 2 inches away from the TV? How do you watch football games on the television?
I sit 2 inches away from the TV, and I sit sideways mm-hmm. because of the peripheral. I was just watching the Dodger game this afternoon. I can see all the numbers and everything on there. I can't read that little box that tells you what the score is or anything like that. Surrey
mm-hmm.
has been a very big help to me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I can see that. I can see that really – really well. And again, it took some getting used to it, you know, to get in that kind of position. And my wife and kids will really kind of joke about it when they come walking into the family room and see me sitting that close to the TV set. And
I know. The first time that I did that, I thought, you know, I'm just waiting for someone to say to me, back away from the television. Don't you know that ruins your eyes? I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, really? You know, how much worse can it get? So, you know, it's don't sit too close to the TV. It'll ruin your eyes, you know, was the big joke in my house for a while. But And with sports, you know, it seems that you have the announcers, and it's so descriptive that actually if you convert from a visual to just more of an audio and then you get a little feel from the visual because you have that little bit, you know, you really can follow the games no matter if it's hockey or baseball or basketball or football. You know, that is the advantage, I think, of live sports games. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And we're going to go to Dodger Stadium for a game tomorrow night with our family. My daughter's in town, and she's, you know, we're going to go out there. I won't be able to see anything. That's okay. I'd rather see some, you know, watch it.
Yeah.
But being a part of it is really fun. But being able to see it on the TV is a little bit different. One of the things that I got to do, you make all sorts of connections doing college, you know, football, is I got to be on the sidelines for 7 Rose Bowls and the last 2 national championship games that were played at the Rose Bowl. The last one was the last game that I was able to do that. But I would write down the penalties for the officiating crew. That's all I did. I wrote whenever there's a penalty, I'd write it down, and I'm standing right next to Nick Saban when he was a commentator. Or, you know, that, and I go, wow, this is pretty cool. And so that's the connection that you got to make. And the other one that I probably missed the most, and I talked to you about it, is making connections. I got to know a guy named Mike Pereira, who at the time was the vice president of officiating for the National Football League. And he was living in New York, and he's a California guy, and he wanted to retire and move back to California. Fox Sports made him an offer to be part of the Fox football, where if there was any controversial calls, he was like instant replay. He'd come on real quick and say, before the decision was made, well, if you look at his left foot, it's on the sideline, or he didn't have control of the ball. Well, he was going to do that, and he called me up and said, asked me if I'd be interested in being part of that team, of being able to help him while he's doing that. And I said, that sounds terrific, and this is in 2010. And he said, well, I have another favor for you. I need you to hire 10 guys to do this as well. And so every Sunday during the football season, we would go down to Fox Studios in Los Angeles, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, we'd get to talk to people like Michael Strahan and Terry Bradshaw. But when the games start, we're each watching a NFL pro football game. And whenever there would be something controversial, we'd bring it to Mike's attention. I was there for a couple of years, Mike's right-hand guy. We'd bring it up on the screen and, you know, it'd anticipate going on the air. And that was just an absolute charge for me.
That sounds so cool. Wow, that is big time.
When I was on the football field, whenever there was going to be a big play, a big call that had to be made, my ego always got a hold of me, but I said I wanted to be the one making the call. I wanted to be that guy. And it was, like I said earlier, I was pretty full of myself. But the officials that I have working for me, I want them to feel that same way too. I don't want them to be, you know, to on that. And so that's what I'm trying to pass down to these guys. And I tell them when I'm watching you, I go, let me see a smile. I go, because if you're going to spend all your time preparing and everything like this to do what you're doing, if you can't have some fun, you got to, you know, you're kind of wasting your time.
Well, and I think that's what's so great, Tracy, is that you're now able to pass all those years of experience, you know, your visual experience on the field as well as, you know, everything else that goes with it down to the next generation. You know, you're not able to do it, but you can pass everything you've got down to these next guys that are going to be up and coming. And I just think that that's the way you've stayed in the game. And, you know, you've kept your hand in it. You didn't walk away saying, forget it, I never want to do it again. And that's what I love about your walk with LHON is, you know, LHON's still there, but you know what? It's not getting in your way. And I just think that's so great.
I appreciate that. And what I've told this to a few people, that even if they were going to have these clinical trials or possible even cures for this type of thing, because there's a lot of smart people that are working on this.
Right.
And, you know, let's work on these kids that are younger. I mean, if it comes around my way, that would be great. I'm not going to say no. But, you know, we kind of circle back around to some of those kids that were at the conference and just, you know, nobody was hanging their head. It'll be neat in a year to go back to this conference and see this group. I kind of tell people, hey, don't feel sorry for me. Come by, pick me up, and give me a ride. But don't feel sorry for me.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly. I'll take a ride over feeling sorry for me any day.
Yeah.
I think lots of people agree with that.
My group of friends don't feel sorry for me. You have to have some pretty thick skin to be in this group. And there's five or six of us that we don't meet just during the football season.
With Corey, you know, same thing with Corey Lloyd is that, you know what, we have those friends that we've nurtured along the way, and boy, do they come in handy now, you know? And it sounds like you and for many people, I don't think it's true for everyone, but, you know, none of my friends ever left, and it doesn't sound like any of your friends ever left. They stayed and said, what can we do to help you? And,
well,
you know.
It's a huge adjustment for everybody, and for my family, they didn't bargain for this. The roles really changed with my wife and the same girl I mentioned when I was engaged to be married when I was 19, we just, you know, had our 42nd anniversary I can't tell if there's a roll of the eyes, and I'm joking when I say that, but there's never been a complaint. Absolutely never been a complaint.
Wow.
She sounds like
an angel. She sounds like an angel.
Well, we go to the doctor's office, and I probably miss a lot of the conversation. She doesn't miss anything. Doesn't miss a thing. So
it sounds like she's a good partner in crime for you. That's for sure.
So
good.
But that's kind of my story. It's just
I
stay active. I go out three or four times a week. I have a course of 5.5 miles. It's a run and a walk. I'm not very fast, but it gets me out of the house. I don't have a guide. And we talked about this on a couple shows before, and Lisa sent me some information about guides. But it's the same route that I run all through the neighborhood here where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one street that I have to cross with a signal. I can't see what the signal is, but I wait. When the cars go through, I figure, hey, all those cars must be right, so I'll go through. And, you know, it gets me out of the house
That's important. Well, good. Well, thank you, Tracy. I'm going to go ahead and open it up. I'm going to go ahead, and if there's anyone with any burning questions or a burning topic at this point, you know, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines. If it gets to be too loud and we can't hear, I'm going to have to remute, and then each of you will have to unmute by star seven, individually. But I'm going to go ahead and unmute So have your questions or comments, or just if there's anything else on your mind you want to bring up, please know that this is the time. But give me a quick second so I can unmute everyone and we can hear all your cheery voices. Hold on a second.
The conference has been unmuted.
Okay, great. All of you, if you are unmuted, and look, listen how quiet it is. You guys really behave.
Are they awake? Are they fall asleep?
Really, it's like nobody's there, right? So anyway, if anyone has any questions, comments, again, we don't have to be directed at Tracy. They can just be maybe some question you might have that's a hot topic in the community, or just something you ran into that you want to talk about. Please feel free to do that now.
Hey, this is Mark.
Okay. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I just have a general question for, you know, anybody who's affected that's on the call. I was just curious if there was anybody with the 11778 mutation who's participating in the, you know, clinical trial, either already started or about to be starting out at UCLA in Los Angeles.
Well, I know myself, I actually went up and did the screening for the clinical trial, and this is for the eye drops, and
yeah.
I did not, and I'm 11778, and I did not qualify. I do know of three other folks who also went up in the last week or so and did not qualify. I only know of one person right now. His name is Joe Burkett. He's been all over Facebook about it, so I'm not too worried about him being upset I'm saying it. But Joe Burkett lives down in, I want to say Kentucky, Louisiana, and he is actually doing the eye drops trial right now. Yeah, yeah. Were you thinking of pursuing that?
Well, I had an appointment with the doctor for, like, you know, like the an evaluation, like you just, you know, spoke of. And
yeah.
It was originally for August 5th. But then I told them about all of my other medical conditions, and I guess my leukemia makes me ineligible. So it sounds like better I did, you know, spend a grand to fly out there just to, you know, not be eligible.
Yeah, that was probably best that kind of came out in the open, you know, before that for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of people going, so as far as, you know, what exactly they're looking for, it's hard to know because all I know is the optic nerve has to be at a certain thickness. And, so they're, you know, everything else may line up, age, mutation, and all that. But it's that optic nerve that they're really, really looking at. So anyway, yeah.
I can actually. I'm on the eye drop program, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Oh, you're doing the eye drop?
Yeah, my name's Doug Moore up in San Francisco.
Oh, hi, Doug. Okay, terrific. Did you just start doing that?
I'm just a little over 30 days into it now. Matter of fact, I just got my next shipment today. So,
great.
It's still real early and very excited and hopeful. But,
good. There you go. We know somebody else.
The story is only good.
That's great.
Sentence
is
6 years for girlfriend's murder.
Sorry, was somebody asking a question about that?
I think that was someone talking.
So there's some people I can tell are walking around and doing things. If you really don't want to speak up at all, please press *6, and that will mute your phone, and you can walk around and listen all you want. You can make dinner, you can whatever you're doing, okay? Oh, good, I hear some beeps. Thank you. Thank you, guys, who's ever doing that. So any other questions? Any, you know, football fans, or you have any questions about, you know, anything else going on?
I was curious, Tracy, you in true official referee nature, you never said any teams you are now a fan of, and I feel that you're allowed to say that now. So I'm just curious who the teams you root for are.
Well, I live in Southern California, and so I really follow USC and UCLA, and I did work at Azusa Pacific University. I'll put a plug in for them, and I helped them out with game day operations, so I'm kind of involved with their football program, and they just advanced up to the Division II level. And there, we go to their games and stand on the sidelines, Connie and I, my wife and I, every one of their home games. And it's really fun and on that. But I really enjoy SC and UCLA, but I think that if you're a football fan, that the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, is highly overrated. So I hope you're not from the South.
Well, I am, but I'm an ACC fan, so I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So, Tracy, here's another question for you. When you're on the field, is it a much – I mean, I know that would be much more exciting, but to me, that would be much more I don't know the word I want to use, but much more visually fun than sitting anywhere in the stands. If you have that opportunity to be down there, do you feel like you can get a better feel of the game being that close on the field?
I do have people to look out for me because I can't see those players coming at me if they are until the very last minute. So I do listen for it. I had a guy that I know that works at Azusa Pacific came by one time and said, did you think that was a legal tackle? And I looked at him and I said, it sounded like it was legal. And he gives me a hug and he goes, I'm sorry.
Well, I remember being at the field level of my daughter's, she used to play rugby. Thank God she doesn't anymore. But I could hear those girls coming down. It sounded like a herd of elephants coming down the field. And that's, I could hear them getting closer and closer and closer just from running down the field. And I'm curious, when you're on the sidelines like that, can you tell, like, oh, here they come, and it's just like this pack of animals, you know, coming down the field?
Well, when they're coming towards me, there are people there that know me very well that kind of grab my arm. And once they do that, I know it's time to kind of move backwards. I will say that when I was on the field, whether there were 60,000 people at the Coliseum or 50,000 people at Boise State, as an official, when the game is going, you don't hear the crowd. It's not like a silence, but you don't hear the crowd.
You have to tune it out.
Well, it's almost automatic, but when there's a timeout or something, oh, yeah, you can hear stuff.
Sure.
And you can guess which ones are sober and which ones aren't, you know, those kind of things.
That's awesome.
Tracy.
Yes.
Even though I can actually watch a game from a few inches away like you can, quite often I prefer just turning the radio on or TuneIn Radio or NFL Pro Football app or something like that and listening to the officiating or the commentating, rather, because it's so much more descriptive than the TV. I was wondering if that's something you ever do or if that's something others on the call like to do.
Well, and one of the things for me is we're so spoiled here that we have Vin Scully doing Dodger baseball. And this is his last year, and he's absolutely the best. But you're absolutely right on that because in football, a lot of times on TV, there's silence. And it's not that way on radio. So, yes, I have done that, and I do think it is better.
Yeah. Now being more auditory than visual, you know, obviously, you know, converting over to that. So that's great. I mean, that's good. If there was a hot tip there from Andy, the NFL football app, you know, doesn't have to be something I have, but hey, you know, if you're a sports fan, it sounds like it's a good app to have for sure. Is there anyone else who would like to speak up or?
Yeah, try to make one quick comment about the radio thing, because when I couldn't watch games on TVs anymore, my dad got me an XM radio.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I agree with your comment about the radio guys call the game totally different. And XM has changed my world. But Trace has to ask you one other quick question.
Go ahead.
You said you refereed the last two national championship games in the Rose Bowl, and I did go to I'm an FSU alumni, and I went to the FSU Auburn. Were you officiating that game?
I was on the sidelines for that game, and I was doing the penalties. You know, I had a clipboard keeping track of the fouls. I was on the Florida State sideline. And some people might get bored real here, but you and I won't. If you remember, Florida State didn't play real well to begin the game. And there was absolutely no sense of panic on the Florida State sideline. And the end of the third quarter and the whole fourth quarter, they absolutely dominated. There was no sense of panic on that sideline. They didn't change what they did. They just did it a little bit better. And that was pretty impressive.
Cool. I think I heard Wayne speak up. Wayne, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just, I'm always curious. Tracy, I was wondering what size TV you're sitting on top of.
It's a 42, and we were just getting ready to get a bigger one and mount on our fireplace, but we've kind of, I can't get my chair close to the fireplace. We still might do that, get a bigger TV and move
this
one out.
So you think you'd like something bigger? It would work better for you or not?
I'm thinking a 50 would be pretty nice, and they're certainly affordable nowadays. But we're going to play around with that. And when we go to bed, I put the TV on a timer. And I can't see the TV when I'm in bed, but it's usually Jimmy Kimmel or the news. And
right.
And that's almost like radio for me. But So, but yeah, we have a 42 now, and I think a bigger one would probably help out more, but not where my wife wants to put it. So
tell me, is that a man cave size? Because, you know, I'm a girl. I don't know the sizes of these televisions.
When we got the 42, it was a big TV. It is not a big TV anymore.
I think they pretty much, you know, take up the whole wall in some homes, I think, these days.
Well, and they're so affordable now, if your TV breaks, you just go buy a new one, I guess.
Yeah,
Yeah, I had a 42-inch TV back when I could see. Now that I lost my vision, I have a 60-inch TV.
And that has really helped you out?
Oh, I can watch anything. I mean, I may sit about 2 inches from the 2 feet from the TV, but I can see everything perfect.
Well, do you sit straight on or do you sit sideways?
I sit like to the side. I don't sit like directly in front of it and just stare at the TV because I'm a lot of times watching things like with other people. So, I mean, I'm on.
Yeah.
So I suppose I'm probably watching it, like, you know, sideways. I never think of it that way. And people say, like, oh, if I stand over here to your side, can you see me better? And I say, no, if you're closer to me, I can see you better.
Right.
I never try to, like, look at anything sideways. It's just the closer it is, the better I can see it.
Yeah. Well, you know, as everything else, you know, the bigger, you know, it's blown up and zoomed up, you know, the better it is for us to see it. That rings true. And somebody's dog's barking. So, Tracy,
Maria?
Is your dog?
Maria?
Yes.
Hey, it's Paul. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
I got a suggestion for Tracy and any of the other folks that like to watch TV. Apple TV is great because you can use the voiceover on it, and the new version you can even talk to it with you know, voice commands. So it's the most accessible thing I've found so far, as far as for being able to do stuff with the TV. You know, if you want to watch, and Netflix of course has video description now on their productions, but all the menus are accessible. That's the big thing.
Oh yeah. Does anyone else out there use Apple TV? That's listening. That's on the call. I know we have it, but I don't have a clue how to use it. So
it's affordable.
Yeah, they've got the older one now is I think like $69, and the new one's like $149 or $200 depending on how big a RAM you want in it, but. The older one works really well for most things. There's more stuff available on the newer one, but it's very accessible. If you're familiar with using your voiceover on the phone, it's quite easy.
Well, Maria has promised to teach me voiceover.
Yep.
I see now talks about their remote now has voiceover. I mean, I don't know. Once again, I don't think that Apple is like, you know, that, you know, the amazing company that everybody says it is. I have my computer hooked up to my TV, and I can do anything in the world over on my TV from my computer.
Ooh,
and
awesome.
I just Comcast, you know, and all their commercials talk about how their remote has the voiceover. I don't know. I just I don't know.
There's smart TVs. They have smart TVs now that you know you can do a lot with as well, like Samsung or something like that.
Samsung has the disability settings for accessible voice stuff also, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend with
that. But it just depends. Some people don't have enough vision to watch a lot, and some people do, and with the advantage of the voiceover is that it reads the menus to you. Now, if you're able to use the computer, that's great, too, but most people don't have it connected that way.
Yeah.
Yes, as Mark mentioned, and I know this is regional, so you'd have to certainly check your area, Comcast will allow, if you live in certain parts of the U.S., if you call, they will upgrade your cable box to be one that is completely voice-enabled and that you have a talking remote that you can talk to and it will talk back to you.
That's great.
They have some commercials for that as well, like Mark mentioned, but that is regional and not available nationwide.
Mm, good point. Nice. Is there, any other questions or any hot topics out there? We still have a little bit more time on the recording. And as we've done in the past, which has worked out well, is that I will stop the recording at a certain point. And then if anybody wants to hang on after that point, which, you know, we will, and wants to talk about anything, it will not be recorded, and, you know, it's kind of a free-for-all after that. So keep that in mind if there's something that you don't really want to speak up about right now. But we do have a few more minutes left. Anybody else out there with a burning question or comment about really anything that's going on these days?
Maria, let me put a plug in that if to put the conference on your calendar. I mean, that I had no idea what to expect, and I certainly was not disappointed. It was just a really fast moving day, and I would just really suggest if anybody's even thinking about it, is just to kind of put it on your to do list.
Yep. Wayne always gives a good plug. Wayne's going to be there in 2017,
yeah,
right?
So disappointed. But just started adding things up, and we just couldn't afford to go from Florida to Seattle, and we thought about driving, and that was even more expensive, of course. So, but like a lot of people know, you know, that's where most of my family, my daughter and mom was up in Maryland. So it's easy for us to drive up there. So we'll be there. We were there last year, but we'll definitely be there this year.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And I think a lot of the East Coast friends will definitely be being there next year as well. And I know Lisa McGregor, who's on the call, she was there this year, and I think she feels it was a good conference as well. Lisa, you still there?
I'm still here, yeah. It was certainly an amazing conference. Yes, there were a lot of people that we missed, you know, like the Jessicas, the Andys, the Waynes, and the list goes on, but also met a lot of new people and reconnected with people and, you know, got to spend more time with my dear sweet friend Maria, which was, you know, something you can only do once a year kind of thing. So it was a wonderful conference, and again, thank you to Alyssa for all that she does for the community. It's amazing.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, there's definitely testimonials out there for the conference. So, and every year we seem to top off a few more people than the year before. So, you know, that's the goal, is always to get a few more people than the year before. We did have a big group of affected. I don't know the count. Lisa may know if she wants to chime in, of how many affected were there this year. But we did take some photos. I think a few have been put out there on Facebook. I'm not sure. But it was a big group, real big group, and, I think everyone walked away, again, with really a good feeling from the day, lots of knowledge, not too overwhelming, but lots of good nuggets to take away. So, again, June 29th and 30th, 2017, Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. Again, we're a year out, so there's plenty of time to, you know, make those plans to come and join us, but I think we're going to go ahead and wrap the call, but please stay on the line, and Tracy, if you don't mind, would you mind staying on a few minutes in case anyone had any more questions for you?
I am here.
Okay. But I want to say that our next call will be in August. And I did not come prepared with the date, but first Wednesday in August. Lissa usually chimes in on that one. It's the first Wednesday in August, and as you know, we always try and give you a few, about a week's notice when the call's coming up. Same time, same place.
August 3rd. Had to get off mute. Sorry. August 3rd.
There we go. August 3rd. August 3rd. So mark your calendar for that. Andy, do you have something to say?
Oh, I was actually chiming in to say August 3rd as well, and it will be our two-year anniversary, so don't miss it.
Ooh, nice. Yes, yes. Okay, well, I didn't even remember last August. It was our first anniversary. We
should do something special on video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Video.
All right. Well, you better wait for it. All right, and then, of course, if you have any suggestions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest speaker in the future, you can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We welcome anybody to email us. We do check it. And, again, if you start shooting out messages on Facebook, you know, sometimes we miss that stuff, but we'll always do our best to try and catch things on Facebook as well. Jessica, Andy, and I, we love having Facebook friends. Feel free to find us on Facebook as well as Tracy McFate. And until August, we hope you all have a wonderful month, and we will see you all back here in August. I'm going to stop the recording of the call, and then anyone who wants to hang on, it's kind of after the show talk, and please feel free to stick with us. I'm going to stop the recording. So, but those of you who need to go, it's been an hour. It's been lovely. It's been fun, and we'll talk to you in August. But I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, so give me a minute.